I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, or mountain, or plain, or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord. I'll be what you want me to be. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you that you have brought us out of the world of darkness and sin and misery into a brand new life, a totally new life in Christ. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, you enable us to live that life, and you help us to see things the world can't see and know things that the world can't know and do things that are simply impossible as we walk with you and walk in your power and might. Father, we thank you that in our new lives in Christ, Father, we discover the blessings, eternal blessings, that are just astounding. Father, we just pray that you'd bless this time and by the Holy Spirit, open our eyes and our hearts to that world around us that belongs to you, that world where you function and openly and freely, and we can revel in the joy and the blessings of life, both in this world and the hope of life with you in eternity. Father, we just thank you for each other and for this time, and we look to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, if you remember a long time ago, that was, we just didn't have church last Sunday, but I'm going to go back to Philemon 6, and we were talking about let me go ahead and read in Philemon's verse 6. Where again Paul says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. God has blessed us so abundantly with so many new and good and fresh and amazing things. He has given us, he's inspired us, and he continues to inspire us that that life as a Christian is not just a kind of cleaned up version of our old lives. Our lives as a Christian are not just something where we have more activities and now we have to go to church and we have to do this and we have to do that. No, life in God, life as a child of God is a brand new life with new goals, new purposes, new enablings, new sources, new resources, just everything is new in the midst of what we used to be. And that's where there's the contrast and the conflict as we grow and as we mature. We learn, as we walk with God, we learn about our new lives bit by bit and day by day. And that's why Paul, in talking to Philemon, Philemon is already a dear brother, also already a very effective, had an effective ministry and an effective, he was a blessing to so many, and Paul heard of his love and his faith. But he said that through, to kind of condense this, that he's praying that the communication of that faith that he has would become even more effectual. And that's really at the key and at the heart of our lives as Christians. They are always getting better and better, more and more operative, effectual, functional, powerful, the word means. Through the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you, in Christ Jesus. The acknowledgement. You know, I think I've made this comparison many times, but I was reading, I can't quote it now, it just came to mind, but the person said the normal state of an average person is not a life of freedom and liberty, but it's one of bondage, enslavement and toil and oppression. And that's what makes the United States and the things our country is founded on is so exceptional in the world. Its intent is to lift people out of that commonality and put us all on equal footing. And that we are not servants, we are not slaves, we're not in bondage, that we are in a sense masters of our own fate. But we live in a time when people are forgetting how valuable that is. And we become more and more dependent on those things that God, that our Constitution, our laws have set us free from. I'm just amazed all the time at how people want to watch what's happening in England with the Queen and the Prince and the Princess and the coronations and all that sort of stuff. That's fine, whatever. But that's not our country. That's not our life. Even so, in Christ, we've been called to a whole new life where we are free to walk with God. We are free from the powers of the physical forces of this world. You know, there's so many examples through Scripture, the works that God has done in the lives of His people. And you speak of the physical nature of things. You know, think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, thrown into a fiery furnace that killed the guys that threw them in there, yet they were not harmed by it. We are called to live lives that are otherwise impossible. Every one of us. If you go to a church and they refer to you as the congregation, you're in the wrong church, because we're all in the priesthood. If you go to church where they refer to the priests and the overseers and the elders, you need to be listening to them and you're dependent on them. You're going to the wrong church, because we are all called to be priests and ministers of God. We are called to the ministry. That's what the body of Christ does. The church is the body of Christ, and we are all called to walk in those works that God has foreordained that we should walk in them. We are free. We are free to walk with God wherever, as we sang, wherever He would have us go, whatever He would have us do. What we discover along that way is, as we mentioned earlier again with the man who's in the Air Force, God has equipped us to do anything. Through the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, God equips us to do the impossible every day, or twice every day if need be. That's how new and fresh a Christian life is supposed to be. But the world and even the religious organization and stuff would tend to oppress that. People want to be in charge. They want to tell you what to do. But the Holy Spirit sets us free. God sets us free. And as Paul is telling Philemon, as you acknowledge the fact that we are free and we are empowered and that we have a purpose and a voice, we have a calling of God, we have things that God would have us to do. I don't have time to be in bondage to the world. And if God wants to bring changes into my life, that's His prerogative. That's His right. My calling is to trust Him wherever, as we sang, wherever you want me to go, Lord, the other side of the world or just down the block, it doesn't matter. It takes the power of God to live that new life. And so one of the good things that Paul could be calling Philemon to acknowledge this reality, that we are enabled, we are empowered by the Spirit of God. That is the norm, is supposed to be the norm for the church. When I talk about the church, I'm talking about the body of Christ. I'm talking about every one of us. The church is not a building. It's a living, spiritual body. It's, if you would, a mystical body in a sense. Christ is the head. We are the body. He directs us in all that we're supposed to do and called to do. And as we acknowledge that in our everyday lives, that we are not our own, that we have a new life, and that the Holy Spirit is sent specifically, and we talked about this 2 weeks ago, specifically that we might have the enabling, the power to do what God would have us to do. Because God has called every one of us to do impossible things, things that are impossible to the flesh, impossible to who we are in the natural or were in the natural. He's called us to be instruments of righteousness in His hands. We're His tools. We're in His toolbox. Just like the head tells, the hand to put food into the mouth so it goes to the stomach and provides energy for the body, Christ directs each one of us in our own ways, our own functions, to get the whole work completed, the whole work done. And when we have a hand that doesn't cooperate, we somehow tag that with the name of a disease or a disability. And the church is not disabled. The church is not sick. The people of God are not sick. That's why every part is, we'll talk about here, a little bit here in 1 Corinthians 12. But so anyway, the Holy Spirit was given to empower the church to be the body of Christ and the witness of Christ in this world. I'm going to turn back to the Acts. We were going kind of chronologically here in order in the Bible, but Acts chapter 10. And here we find it's like we're almost due for a study in Acts again, but here we find Peter called of God to do something extremely new. This is not long after the church began and Christ was raised from the dead and the apostles are out ministering and spreading the gospel. But Peter Acts chapter 10, verse 23, he's housed in a house of in Caesarea or Joppa, and their messengers come and they say that, you know, there's a man named Cornelius that'd like to talk to you, because God has put in his heart and told him in a dream by an angel that to call Peter. Peter has a message for them. So in verse 23, then Peter went and he called, and then called he them in and lodged them. And the next day Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and he had called together his kinsmen and near friends. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down to his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up and said, "Stand up, I myself also, I'm just a man. You don't worship me, I'm just a man." But Peter told him, and I'm going to breeze through this rather quickly, the Lord had to persuade Peter to go into the house of a Gentile. This was something that was not done. They were heathens. They were pagans. And Jews were not to eat or to go into the dwellings of the Gentiles because it was contrary to the law. It was contrary to their custom and tradition. And Peter was not easily convinced, but the Lord convinced him, showing him that there, what the Lord calls clean and okay, Peter has no right to say it's not okay. So Peter told them that here in verse 28. He said, you know, it's unlawful for me, being a Jew, to keep company, to be here with you. It is, as a Jew, this is unlawful. But here I am because God told me, and he explained it, God told me to come here. So after the discussion, in verse 34, Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, doesn't matter, Israel, any of the Gentile nations, Rome, any of these nations, every nation that fears him, that trusts him, that reveres him, and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." There is no religion more accepting of other peoples than Christianity. You hear so many things today how Christianity puts down women, it puts down this group or this race or that race. None of that is true. None of it. No religion is more inclusive than Christianity. In Christ, Paul said, there's no longer Jew or Gentile, bond or free, male or female. We are all made equal in Christ. So Peter here says, but in every nation that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word of this that is being preached, that peace with God through Jesus Christ, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began in Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost and the anointing of the Holy Ghost was the power through which Jesus did the things that he did, the miracles that he did. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all these things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew, speaking of Jesus, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. God demonstrated, as we know, in Christ, that God has authority and power over everything. And not even, there is no such thing as the power of death. No such thing as the power of death to the child of God. Death has been defeated. And one day death will be judged and cast into death, if you would, and into the lake of fire. And there will no longer be death, physical death, any kind of death. But God raised him up on the third day and showed him openly to demonstrate that Jesus was the anointed of God to bring peace to the world, to bring life and hope. Not to all people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness, and through his name whomsoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, when he was just telling them of this message that God gave to the apostles to give to the world, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard that word. And they of the circumcision, that is the Jews, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. And they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. I'm getting ahead of myself. So before he can even finish preaching and witnessing to them the gospel, the Holy Spirit came upon them because their hearts were open to that. Their hearts were hungry for that message. God had prepared their hearts. And as Peter said, he fell on them just as it had fell on them on the day of Pentecost at the very beginning. So this gift of the Spirit was not just for the apostles on the day of Pentecost. It was not just for the early ages. It's for all nations, everywhere, upon whosoever believes. Because the Holy Spirit is the power of God. But think of this huge change. I'm going to skip here and go to one verse. The huge change that the Jews had just witnessed. They were God's chosen people. They were the people that God was honoring these messages of the prophets. And Jesus was a Jew, and he came to fulfill those prophecies and to bring salvation and deliverance for Israel, for the nation of Israel. But all of a sudden, as Peter was shown in this dream, They found out just how extensive the gift of God in Christ was. That it's for everybody. The salvation of God in Christ was for everybody. The empowering of the Holy Spirit was for everybody, whosoever believes. It is the new norm, it is the new life, it is the new testament. It is the new age in which the world has come upon the world. Through the manifestation of Christ in the world. But the one thing, chapter 11, Paul is speaking to the other disciples and apostles back in Jerusalem, and they're scorning him. Said, we heard you went into a house of Gentiles. You know we don't do that. That's not lawful for us to do that. We don't hang out with them folks. We don't hang out with those people. They'll defile you. That was their tradition. That was their law. That was their teaching. That was their upbringing. So Peter told him exactly what happened. And then go to verse 17 in chapter 11. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand or argue with God? When they heard these things, they held their peace. And something struck me as I was studying last night. We've all heard the phrase, you know, you could have heard a pin drop. Suddenly they realized that the Messiah, the salvation of God that has given to Israel, God is blessing the Gentiles, the pagans, the heathens, as they called them, in the exact same way. When they heard these things, they held their peace. Boom. The whole world was changed. The love of God is for whosoever believes. The infilling of the Holy Spirit is for everyone who believes. It's the presence of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit, the working of the Spirit, this enabling to do the things and the works of God is to everyone who believes. There's this great equality that flooded the world like a tsunami, a spiritual tsunami, where the blessings of God have been opened upon to the whole world, to whoever you are. And they glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Suddenly it struck them. These pagans can be saved. These pagans can enter into the promises and the blessings of God in Christ. It kind of blew their minds. They said, you could have heard a pin drop. They went from being God's chosen people to realizing that the world is filled with God's chosen people. That all mankind, that God's goal and purpose in all human race is that everyone should be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. That the power of the Spirit is able, is out there, is working to transform the world. And this is the good thing, one of the good things that, as Paul said to Philemon, as we acknowledge that this is the power of God, that this is what God is doing, that this is what our lives in this world are really about, it changes the way we see ourselves. It changes the way we see the world. We are called to be witnesses in all the earth. We are called to go wherever he would have us to go. If we turn to 1 Corinthians, let me go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to read a verse here from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, to reinforce something here. But in John 14, Jesus said, truly I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. People don't, you know, they can tolerate talking about, you know, a little bit, tolerate the miracles that Jesus did. And maybe the miracles that the apostles did, but that's where it stopped. Those miracles, they don't happen anymore. Wrong. The same Holy Spirit, the same power of God, the same calling and purpose of God that was manifest in Christ is now poured out upon everyone, every one of us, that we might do greater works. Whatever God wants to do, in our lives. He will do, he can do. If we are open to that, if we'll receive that, if we will acknowledge that. If we will acknowledge that. And it's one of the great problems with in the church today, I feel, is that the church has been robbed of their power, robbed of their place, robbed of their authority, robbed of their true position in Christ with God. We are the body of Christ. We are not a congregation. We are not subject to all the order. I had a little interesting interaction with someone in a, I don't like to name denominations, but a highly liturgical denomination with priests and all sorts of stuff that they do. And the comment they made just floored me. But that's how dependent that they are on these people in the robes and the funny hats and all the holy smoke and the liturgies that they go through. They think that has saving power. Their lives are dependent. I can say this, that one thing I learned is if a person who is Catholic dies, they can have a funeral mass for that person, and nobody needs to be there but the priest. The priest will handle it. He'll see to it that all the right things are done, and the person is assured as gentle a passage into the other world as possible. But that's a job of the priest. You don't need to be there. The family doesn't need to be there. It's all about the priest having that power. But he does not. It's Christ that has that power. It's Christ in us that has that power. So here in 1 Corinthians 12, I'm not going to go through, but hopefully you're familiar with it. But through the whole chapter, Paul is talking in verse 1, we start, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant or without knowledge. Ye know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the power, if you would, of the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit, the exhibition of the Spirit, the work of the Spirit is given to every man to profit the whole." These aren't things that we get for ourselves. The intent of it is for the body. We are called to do the things that we are called to do for the sake of the body around us, for the sake of the world around us, because we are the body of Christ. Then he goes on to enumerate some of them. To one is given the Spirit of word wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith in the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. And he goes on and on and on. And there's several places that is mentioned. But the body is one. And he starts talking in verse 19 and 20 down through there, that, you know, as I mentioned earlier, you know, how's your stomach going to get food at the fellowship dinner today if you don't have a mouth, if you don't have hands, if you don't have, not there aren't ways we overcome handicaps and abilities, but if you don't have a mouth, how are you going to get in there? I don't think anybody here is going to be placing any G-pegs today so somebody can eat lunch. We need each other. We are meant to work together. We are meant to be dependent on each other. And so with that, you know, I need you to be doing your job. I need you to be doing what God has called you to do. You need me to do what God has called me to do. We are one body. You know, how can I get there if I don't have legs and I can't walk? How can I hear if I don't have ears? How can I know things if my ears aren't working? We are called as a body to function together through the power of the Holy Spirit to do those spiritual works that God enables us to do, that we can know what this our lives are about, know what this world is about, and that we can function in this world with joy and peace in believing and be that effective witness to the world around us. We are a body. We do not all have the same callings and purposes. But just because one is different doesn't mean, well, you're not like me, so you're not like me. No, you're supposed to be different. Which one of us have the exact same life as another? None of us. Where would you get your car fixed if we lived in a world full of nurses? How would you get your heat to run if we lived in a world full of lawyers? We all have our place, our proper place in the body of Christ. And he puts us where he needs us to do what he's enabled us to do whenever at his choosing. We realize we are not our own. We are not our own. And skip to chapter 14 here in 1 Corinthians. Paul goes through chapter 13, talking about love and how our work and our place in this world and our calling is supposed to be motivated by love. But in chapter 14, he says, so follow after love or charity and desire spiritual gifts. Love alone is not the answer. We, in order to be effective in our lives in the Lord, we need to be motivated in love, but desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you might prophesy or speak forth the truth. Speaking in tongues is a good thing. Verse 2 says, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesies speaks unto men unto edification and exhortation and comfort. So there's a place for these gifts. There's a place for the power of the Spirit to work in our lives. But the goal is to build up the body of Christ, to strengthen the body of Christ, to teach the body of Christ, to enable the body of Christ, and to motivate and inspire in love and to love those around us, even as Jesus did. The power of the Holy Spirit is essential. The working of the Holy Spirit, the leading of the Holy Spirit and our yieldedness to the Spirit is essential for us to be where we are supposed to be when we are supposed to be there and able to do those things that God has called us to do. If we turn to Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, and just quickly, let me read verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. When Christ was raised from the dead, as Jesus said, how much more when I go to the Father, you will be empowered to do the things that God has called you to do. So he gave gifts unto men. And verse 11 says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting or for the maturing, the growing up of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We are all called to be ministers in one capacity or another. We're not all called to preach or to teach, but we are all called to administer or minister God's truth to the world around us. As verse 13 then goes on to say, till we all come in the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect or a complete man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we are like Christ. That's God's calling. That's the goals. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of the every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. We are called to a completely new life in a completely new realm. The Lord, this past, like I said, this is for the first 3 weeks of this year, it's been a pretty crazy time for me to go back to work right after the new year and find out that our office is being closed. We're all being laid off. And scattered, in a sense, kind of scattered to the wind, not knowing what we're going to do. I said, I feel most for the younger people that are still working their way up. For me, that was my fourth retirement, in a sense. But I knew the Lord still wants me to do what I'm doing, but I really had no idea where I might go. Well, as it stands today, I have, as I mentioned, maybe mentioned, I have probably two part-time jobs with opportunity to grow, one in Lincoln, one in Omaha. And the Lord's not done with me yet. Even that company was done with our office. The Lord's not done with me. It's not the company that tells us what to do. But he blessed us for a time, and then we take that blessing, what we've learned with us, and apply it someplace new, with new people, new situations, new things. But all of this, as God works in our life, as we walk in the power of the Spirit, and a reliance, a dependence on the power of the Spirit, we can go anywhere at any given moment. We don't know. We have no idea when God might bring a change into our lives, a big change. But we can do it without fear, without any kind of trepidation, just knowing, God's got something new. I've got a new assignment. I wonder what it is. I guess I'll find out. I'll just look to the Lord, put my trust in him, and we'll see what happens. This is at the core of our lives and all our doings in this world, that we are instruments of God, empowered by the Holy Spirit to do things that we cannot do, that we do not know how to do, but knowing that God will enable us and keep us and guard us and watch over us. He will bless us. And that's the message we need to have in the depth of our hearts, and that God works to establish in our hearts. And this is the message that we share with the world. That there is no problem, there is no situation, there are no circumstances that are greater than the power of the resurrection. And the only way we can really say that with power and with meaning is to live it and experience it. And then it just radiates out from our lives to the world around us. There's too much to talk about more about the Holy Spirit, except to say, as we acknowledge, except we have the acknowledgement that this is my life, this is my power, this is my strength, this is what God has called me to, this new life. And it's going to turn out great. When we acknowledge that we are not our own, we're not limited to what we knew yesterday. We are unlimited by what God will do in our lives today and tomorrow. The more we learn that and are reminded of that, the more effectual our testimony is in this dark world around us. With that, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, dear God, for the goodness that we experience in your hand each and every day. We praise you, Lord, that our lives in this world are amazing lives, and they are not what they seem to be. We are not what we appear to be in the world. We're not what we are in the flesh. We are what we are through the power of the Holy Spirit and the presence of Christ in us. Father, bless this to each one. May we acknowledge this new life, this new power, this new enabling that we are called to, and that we are no longer in bondage to the power of sin and death, but we've been set free as evidenced in the resurrection of Christ our Lord from the dead. Father, we thank you for the new lives, the new hope, the abundant, unending joy that you've given us in Christ. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. 382 in verse 1. Let's stand. Come, Holy Spirit. Verse 1. Come as wisdom to children. Come as new sight to the blind. Come, Lord, as strength to my weakness. Take me, soul, body, and mind. Come, Holy Spirit, I need you. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Come in your strength and your power. Come in your own gentle way. We are dependent upon the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. Amen. If you'd like to pray and worship the Lord, please do so. Take that time to do so. If not, God bless you. Amen.